Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Welcome, friends, family in Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today. I've got my brother back in the States, stateside. He's been away for a while. His name is Elijah Abraham. The website is livingoasis.org. That's livingoasis.org. For those of you that are new to the podcast, new listeners or new viewers, because praise God, we're growing because you're doing it. God's doing it. Praise Him. But we cannot show Elijah's face for security reasons. He's had death threats, and he's a threat to particularly the radicals, the Muslims, and for other reasons. So we do these shows with him where we just put up a picture of the cell phone. So he's on the line with us. So I'm interviewing him, but you cannot see his face for security reasons, just so you know. So, brother, I want to bring you in and welcome back to the States. How long have you been back from Indonesia?
About 6 days. So it's been good. So thank you for having me. It's a blessing. And if you might have noticed, I did drag you with me in the mission field through texts and updates and pictures.
Yep. And it's praise God. And when Elijah takes these trips, if you're, you know, following him or in touch with him, you get these text messages on all the pastors he's teaching in the congregations, people coming to the Lord, his travels, and it's just really a blessing for those of us that can't travel or have not been able to go on trips like that. It really is a blessing to keep up to speed on so much. And I know you're probably texting a lot of people, Elijah, so I appreciate I appreciate that. But first of all, let's just talk about, you were gone for how long? Was it 3 weeks?
I was gone about a month. 4 weeks, that's including travel time. Travel. It takes 48 hours each way, 48 hours to get there, 48 hours of travel time to get back. So it's hardly any sleep. But the Lord kind of encourages me that it's all worthwhile. In this particular trip, the Lord allowed me to conduct six conferences, five pastors conferences, and one in a seminary, seminary, all of that in five cities. So we did a lot of traveling within the country, and I did preach three times. And for God to make it worth, kind of to encourage me to make it worthwhile of travel and lack of sleep, in this trip, the Lord really blessed. We had about 64 salvations. Wow. Throughout all of the teaching and the preaching. So that what made it worthwhile. Even if I had one salvation, that makes it worthwhile.
Amen, brother.
So, yeah, it's a blessing. It was really a blessing.
Well, before I get to my next question, your health, how's your back? How are you doing?
That's my cross to bear, unfortunately. As I get older, it doesn't get any better. It's just something, it's a maintenance, and I learned how to live with it. The Lord gave me grace every day, especially traveling. God is good, and I just give him the glory. And one of the things that people always ask me, how do you do that? I said, I really don't know how. The only thing I could think of is whenever I'm behind the pulpit or in front of a pastors or seminary students, I'm a different person. God just takes control, and he gives me the energy, the enthusiasm, the clarity of mind, and the physical ability to do it. But once I go back to my hotel, I crash. back telling me, what have you been doing to me today? So it's a challenge, that's for sure. But thank you for asking. And it is a matter of prayer for God, God's people to keep praying for me. I appreciate that.
Yes, friends, continue to pray for Elijah and his health and his family. It's interesting you said that, though. I just talked to a speaker, a woman who's in ministry. She's from Oklahoma. She's done a lot of traveling. But she's had a lot of health problems, particularly, you know, brain and different issues. But she says, sometimes I feel sick or I'm not able to do anything. And every time she gets up, God gives her the strength and the health to do the presentation, to get through the ministry that she's called to do. So that's real. I bet that's more common than we realize. I want you to just share your big takeaway If there's just one thing, there's probably several, but as far as the overall takeaway from the trip and maybe what God's doing there in Indonesia.
Yeah, I'm telling you, no matter where I go, I mean, earlier this year, I was in three countries in Eastern Europe. In June, I was in five countries, Western Europe, and this time Southeast Asia. So really matter, it doesn't matter where I go, people are hungry for sound biblical teaching. And to correct a lot of misunderstanding. And the pastors, as well as the students in the seminary, but mainly the pastors, who would you think they know the Bible because they're preachers. They're supposed to preach the Bible accurately. They got a lot of things wrong. So when they are confronted with the scripture and explained to them, and we dig deep in the Word of God, that's the beautiful thing that I experienced. I experienced some pastors who weep, repent, asking the Lord for forgiveness, and some still arrogant, and they can. So I get both sides, but all together they are hungry for good Bible teaching, and they also have something else that I'm noticing, not just in Southeast Asia but everywhere I go. People really in tune in these last days. They are trying to understand prophecy and eschatology, and unfortunately. Again, even that, they have all different kind of views, different kind of ideas. So, and that's one of the tracks that I teach is eschatology. So in our ministry, the Lord allows me to really teach five tracks. The first is biblical foundation, which is simplified systematic theology. The second is application of this theology and discipleship and spiritual growth. And the third is eschatology, the fourth, biblical counseling, and the fifth is apologetics and Muslim evangelism.
Wow.
So, yeah, it depends what the need is, and wherever I go, then we'll apply that. And so, and then overall in this trip is just people nervous. And I'm talking about the church. Forget about the unbelievers. The unbelievers, I expect them to be nervous. But they're nervous about global events. They're nervous about economy and so on. So I tried to help them. Look, we're children of God. We have hope. The world doesn't have hope.
Right.
And if we're children of God, we know exactly where we're going. And if you don't know where you're going, let me explain. And I do explain. I said, look, as a Christian, no matter if you're a pastor or not, no matter if you're in America or around the world, as born-again believer, you have to live eschatologically point of view, meaning you have to live today in the view where you're going tomorrow. And as long as you understand what's happening tomorrow, according to the scripture, what God is going to do tomorrow in the future, then you can live today by God's grace, with his power and with his guidance to live gracefully, peacefully, and share the gospel with people with hope and joy. But if you don't have that view in the for the future, then today is going to be, you're going to be anxious, fearful, panicking, and you're going to act like the world.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's what's missing in every country I've been in, is really understanding a prophecy and eschatology. And not just in overseas, here in America. It's the same thing. Many churches, many pastors do not address this doctrine. They don't want to teach it. And so you got a lot of God's people in our churches. They don't have a clear understanding what prophecy is, what eschatology is. Now, there are many of God's pastors, especially there is a group of pastors. They are wonderful pastors from the Calvary Chapel. That's part of big part of their church and Bible teaching. Hmm. Now, there are others who only dedicate, every now and then they teach on the book of Revelation, but they give it like a big overview instead of really dig deeper on, look, chronologically, let's interpret what's going on in the world today and global events and how we can understand them from the lens of prophecy and biblical understanding. And that's not happening, unfortunately. Many Christians are suffering because of that, because they panic. They have no hope.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. So it's a blessing.
That leads to my next, logical question. You're talking about all these things. and the people experience because of their maybe lack of understanding of the scriptures, perhaps, or maybe they weren't taught. And I'm thinking, what about America? These very same things can be applied to the church in America. So yeah. when are you going to start traveling around the United States, Elijah, and teaching people some of the things you're teaching overseas?
Yeah, I would love to. And that's the challenge of our ministry. I don't impose myself or our ministry on any pastor, any church in America. We go by invitation only. So the pastors need to reach out to me, and hopefully they're listening to your podcast. I'm here to serve the church. I am not here to go after anybody's ministry position or anything like that. The Lord gave me a ministry. I'm here to serve the church and equip the body of Christ. And it all depends on the need. So believe it or not, when we first started Living Oasis almost 20 years ago, I was so busy around the country. I've been in 30 states in America. But I would say back in 2012, 13, things started slowing down. And by 2018, hardly any pastors are interested. And I don't understand why. One of the reasons probably, I think, is they look at the people around them. Again, I'm not judging all pastors, but this is my analysis. Many pastors, they look, and I've tried to help the church how to reach Muslims for Christ in their community. So they see Muslims in their area, and instead of saying, okay, Lord, thank you for the opportunity. You brought the mission field in our community. So who do we know or who can we reach? We could call and help us to reach them. Instead, all they think about, Sharia law, jihad, violence, and let's protect ourselves and let us not engage. Well, maybe I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. The other challenge for us, I think, to answer your question, why I'm not going around the country, because I'm not on social media. My face is not, in any website or anything like that. Even podcasts is all audio. I don't have a book. I'm not famous like so many. And unfortunately, I see the same kind of mindset now is being exported overseas. Wow. So some of the pastors in Indonesia and other places, the first thing they say, I could not find you on Facebook. I cannot do that. I don't know who you are. So that's the challenge. And I think that's one of the, some people say, well, that's a negative, a drawback of our ministry. You know what? I go where the Lord opened the door. If the Lord opened the door internationally more than domestic, praise the Lord, because it used to be more domestic than international. So yeah. As of, 17, 18, now it's becoming more international than domestic. I would love to make it a little bit balanced, but I leave that to the Lord. I'm here to equip the church.
That's interesting. You mentioned that. I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about that. You're not on social media. You're not out there doing videos or podcasts and all this other stuff. But we have an audience who a lot of people go to churches, and you have a pastor, friends. If you have a need for something like this at your church to invite Elijah to come and speak, or maybe you know a church in your community, keep that in mind. But I'm glad you brought that up, Elijah. I wanted to ask you about one of the text messages you sent me. This is really fascinating. I think you were in Jakarta speaking at an Assembly of God church. You said you taught apologetics and Muslim evangelism, and you prayed for some students as they were leaving. And you said some of the students at the Christian school are not believers. You said there was a Muslim, a Buddhist, and there are people at a Christian school that are not believers. Can you explain that, how that works?
Yeah, and that's usually, it's normal. I experienced that when I was a kid in Middle East, because the Christian schools are very well known with good quality education. So you've got the community, whether it be Muslims or Buddhists or whatever, they want to send their kids to a good school which offers quality education. So that's how it is. So that's the reason. I was not really totally surprised when they were there. So it's a blessing. These young students heard the gospel. Afterwards, I sat down with them, answered all their questions, offered them the opportunity to receive Christ, but they kind of reserved. They said, no, let me think about it. Okay. The Lord is not here to push himself on anyone. It's fascinating. I'm sure what's kind of to you, it's like you're probably reading the text, like, what is this?
Well, I was also looking at another text message. It's just really encouraging. I mean, you were blessed with 85 pastors in attendance at one of the sessions there on a Saturday in Indonesia. That was shortly before you were going to fly home, I think. But I want to ask you now, we have about 10, 12 minutes left, and I want to ask you about what's going on globally, including the peace that people said would never happen between Israel and Hamas and or in Gaza there. And who knows what I said before we got on the podcast today, terrorists don't keep their promises and covenants mean nothing to people that don't have a biblical worldview. So what are your thoughts on Israel and Gaza, the peace, your concerns about maybe what might come now? I know it's speculation, but what are your thoughts overall, Elijah?
Yeah, again, it's my opinion. You know, it really started back during the President Trump's first term when he initiated and with Jared Kushner and others about the Abraham Accord. And that was really kind of got my attention. It's like, wait a minute, I never thought in my lifetime, coming from Middle East myself, that there will be any Arab nation will shake hands with a Jewish prime minister. I never seen that, never heard of that, because grew up, it's the Jews are the ultimate enemy, and Israel, the ultimate Satan kind of thing. So to see that happen, of course, I was joyful. I'm glad there is peace. And then what happened with Gaza and the signature of the peace between Israel and Hamas, and I'm looking at all these presidents from all different countries, especially from Middle East. Forget about the Europeans. The Europeans, they just want to show up for the photo op. But but those who are really affected by this. Standing there and they're clapping and applauding for this, you know, praise the Lord. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. But I look at the thing, at this situation from biblical point of view, and biblically it tells me, yeah, there might be peace, but it's going to be temporary. I don't think it's going to last long. The question is for how long is it going to last? You know, 3 years, 7 years, 10 years, 20 years. We'll see. We'll see who's going to break it. And what are the circumstances? Now, the question, the concern that I have is for the church. Because they are not in tune, and I was saying they, those who are in tune with eschatology, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the majority who are not really in tune with it. The pastor's not preaching on prophecy and all of that. So my concern for those churches, they're going to say, okay, there is peace. Great, let's go back to normal. And they basically put their guard down without really looking, paying up for our blessed hope. And that's pretty dangerous because you are not preparing God's people what it's ahead. And you have to kind of prepare them eschatologically. So when bad things happen, they're not going to freak out and fall apart and leave the church, leave the faith, whatever it is. So my encouragement and challenge to pastors, no matter where you are, please preach the word from Genesis to Revelation. Don't leave anything out, including the prophetic scripture, including eschatology. Equip your people so they are not deceived by whoever they're going to listen to on YouTube or watch on YouTube or podcast. Because when people, including these churches, have so many questions about these things, where are they going to go? They cannot find it in the church. The preacher's not talking about it. So they're going to do a lot of research or search on the on YouTube or some podcasts or websites and so on, or social media, and they're going to be fallen prey to false teachers. Yeah. So that's my concern. Yeah. So peace in the Middle East, praise the Lord, let it happen. Hopefully it lasts. But I don't hold my breath.
Okay. Peace and safety, peace and security. Yep. It all sounds so good.
Exactly. So, and here's something I want to share with you.
Go ahead.
In my travels, Charlie Kirk was assassinated 2 days before I left for Indonesia.
Okay.
And I was really surprised because I traveled throughout the world. I start getting texts from Poland, from Romania, from Moldova, from UK, from Italy, Spain, from India, from Definitely. While I was in Indonesia, all of them are brokenhearted about what happened to Charlie. And I was stunned. It's like, what? You know about this? You know about him? Oh, yeah, we follow him. And I think he was amazing. His ministry was amazing. He really spoke what we believe, what we thought. I was really stunned. So praise God for Charlie and his life. And he fought a good fight. I just thought I'd share that with you.
No, that's really interesting. Because, yeah, I mean, I knew he was well known, but I guess you never know until something like that happens. And then you understand, oh my goodness, he had a global reach or impact. And I'm so glad. You know what, Elijah, I want you to speak to this. I'm so glad he preached the gospel and exalted the name of Jesus. But he also, there are a couple, I guess he's got some people at Turning Point that are Mormon and some that are Catholic and some, you know, go on down the list. And there's a lot of accusations that have come from maybe discernment ministries. And I'm not saying they're wrong on everything, but they take something he said out of context without looking at the whole body of his work and impact and what he has said about the gospel. He's so many times said the only way to be saved is faith in Jesus Christ. So many times, I mean, it's clear. But then because at that last event he was at, he was speaking to Mormons for the most part.
Right.
A lot
of
Mormons. And he says, I love Mormons. He and
I do too.
Yeah, we are to, you love Muslims. We are to love our neighbor and even, you know, love our enemies, which is hard.
Right.
We love people, but we tell them the truth. He loved them, but he still shared the gospel. And what one discernment ministry did, they took that line about, I love Mormons. And he said something like, I wish there were, the Mormon church was stronger or whatever. Meaning, I understand what he was saying. They were talking about the LGBTQ. They were talking about morality. So yeah, we want people that are biblically moral, but let's talk about religion after. Let's get the God is creator and the gender and the sexuality, So this discernment ministry took that out of context. And I thought, you know what? I understand the statement out of on its own saying, I wish the Mormon church was stronger in these areas. He didn't elevate or exalt the Mormon church. And I've heard so many of these things. People are nitpicking, and it just bothers me. Would you care to speak to that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really sad state of affair for people to do that. And he's not here to defend himself.
Right.
And the only way to defend himself is go back to his videos, to his debates, to his speeches, and that will speak for itself. Believe me, it does not happen just to him. I mean, it happens to me. Yes, I am not on social media or anything like that, but it happens to me live. I'm teaching pastors, and during the questions and answers, they take something I've said out of context and they accuse me of something.
Yeah.
But at least I'm there to defend myself and put it back in the context of what I was talking about. So, yeah, ministries like that, they really need to be careful because, one, they defame a reputation of a brother who's now enjoying his life, eternal life with the Lord. So they need to be careful with that. And also his legacy, you know, they try to defame that too. So before they do say something, do your due diligence. I mean, you're on the discernment ministry. Okay, be discerning before you open your mouth. Yeah. So that's the only thing I could think of is common sense.
Yeah. Friends. Yeah. Be discerning, go to the Word of God, but also look at all of the videos and what he has said on certain topics. Don't just believe one line that's ripped out of an appearance or a speech or a debate for any of us. Cause I mean, I've had accusations, Christian nationalism and all this, and people don't define the terms. But before I let you go, Elijah, is there a current threat to America that's kind of flying under the radar that not many people are talking about?
I believe so. And this threat has been going on since the 60s, and it's been silent since then. The spotlights came on it since 9/11. We went to two wars, cost us, I don't know, $2-3 trillion and all of that. And that is Islam. And the threat of Islam as an ideology, it is not peaceful ideology. At the same time, because of our immigration policies for the last 25, 30 years, and especially under Obama, kind of being put on, Obama and Biden put on steroids, we got a problem in Minnesota, Minneapolis. We got a problem in New York. We got a problem in Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan, the police now have their badges in Arabic as well as in English, which is unheard of. And you have now the call to prayer out in speakers in the city, in the public. And they're basically in your face, like, what are you going to do about it? We're here and we want to implement Sharia law. Now, in the state of Texas, they passed or the governor banned Sharia law, but I have not seen any details how he's going to implement that. If you're going to ban Sharia law, you need to ban Muslim Brotherhood and all associated organizations that affiliated with it. And then I just heard about a week ago or so that now Congress, some congressman, I forgot who it was, now they, and Senator, he was a football player, Tuber, whatever his last
a
name
coach?
From Alabama.
Tuberville?
That's him. He is now talking about introducing Sharia law ban in America. I was like, praise God. Yeah, let's do it. So, but if you watch what's happening in the local cities, that's scary because the church is not ready. They are not equipped. They're ignorant about what Islam is as an ideology. It's not a religion. It's an ideology. It's a socio-political system that uses a deity to advance its agenda. But at the same time, they are not reaching Muslims for Christ. This is a spiritual battle for the hearts. And we have to equip our people, wherever they are, to witness the Muslims. So that's my concern, that to this day, I've been talking about this since 1997. To this day, the church has not done anything.
Islam is a social and political system that uses a deity, religion, to advance its agenda. That's a good definition.
Yeah, and the agenda is global domination, and they're not going to stop. They've been working on it for 1,400 years.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a good place to end to remind people. Go back last week or a week or so ago to look up our interview with Tony Garule. We talked about immigration and Islam according to Muhammad and what the true agenda, what people that are really following the Quran and, you know, what that's going. Elijah, it always goes by fast, and I'm so thankful we were able to get this update on your travels and all the great work you're doing. I wish there were many more of you, but I know cloning is not biblical. So, brother, God bless you. We will keep in touch and do this again. Thank you for your time.
God bless you. Thank you for having me.
Praise God. Friends, God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.